Good evening, Patriots. You know, we'll get to some of the sentiment. I just saw a video on Telegram of Michael Rappaport, probably one of the most venomous spitting Trump haters in the entire universe. And what can we say? The vax is the great leveler. It was on Telegram channel called The Storm Has Arrived 17. And they took a video, it took two videos and put them together. One was when Rappaport was out here walking around telling everybody that didn't take the vax that they were idiots. And then the follow-up of that is sitting in a somewhere, it looks like he was in a medical office, very distraught, kind of this dark realization in his eyes, literally, that he's come to understand that he has now been played like a fiddle. And then he makes the comment that I took the vax and now they're telling me because I took the vax, I'm a super spreader. It's like, yep, that's only the beginning. The waterfall has begun and the storm is definitely here. Wait till you see this one hit. This is going to be the storm of storms. So before we begin tonight, Bard's Fest, 26th to the 29th of August. If you didn't get the interview at Bard's FM earlier, it will post after this show. And then you'll get to hear Shemaine Nugent. A great interview tonight. She's just a sparkle of life. And I think we need to have those, you know. I don't take anything away from anybody that's been on this show. I've had some great interviews, literally, just some fantastic interviews, whether it's Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, whether it's John Benzinger, Dr. Carrie Madej, General Flynn, Joe Flynn. These are all great interviews, right? But that one a little while ago was just a breath of fresh air because it was just, she's just so uplifting, and we need that once in a while. Man, oh, man. So anyway, she's going to be at Bard's Fest. She'll be speaking on Sunday. You know, I can't say it could happen, but I'll tell you what. If you want to put some prayers up for Bard's Fest, pray that Ted would join her. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? Something like that would happen. But we'll see what happens. Anyway, so it's another part of our amazing lineup at Bard's Fest. So get on over to Bard's Fest. And get your tickets. It's bardsfest.com or bardsfm.com/bardsfest. Get on over, get your tickets, indoor, outdoor venues, great venues. We've got plenty of room. We want to pack it. We want God's people there in mass. And we're going to shake the center of the earth, quite frankly. So split the skies, all that good stuff. And it's going to happen. So bardsfest.com, get your tickets for the Bard's Fest. Two venues, one mission. Indoor, outdoor venue. The list of speakers are there. Fantastic things going on in each location. So get that done. And then remember, on the 27th, which is Friday, we're having Mike Lindell speak at both locations. And you need to get your My Slippers. So get on over to MyPillow.com. Use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. Make some great savings on great products. He's a great American company. And he's just doing so much to literally single-handedly fund and fight this fight through selling pillows and slippers. So let's help him along. Seriously. Really need to. So that's mypillow.com with your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. And then also bardsfest.com for your Bard's Fest tickets. Great events coming up. August is going to be an amazing month. And it's truly a blessed time. By the way, big thanks to Mike Adams tonight, or earlier today, who did a call out for Bard's Fest. Brighteon is going to be there live streaming, which is awesome. And then also Clout Hub. So I've told you in the previous show, and I'll be speaking of it each night, get an account on Clout Hub. And I'm saying this because Clout Hub and Bard's Fest are now teaming to produce some really cool, neat things going on. So get on over to Clout Hub. We're going to be doing some cool interactive stuff using Clout Hub's new features that are coming out in a couple weeks. It's a really nice platform. And I'll be honest, I haven't really looked at it until today, and I was on the phone with the CEO. Just a great guy, and he is just committed to building the best Patriot platform out there, and they're doing it. Really some amazing features and some stuff they have now, and it's other things that are rolling out. So we're teaming together on Bard's Fest and a really big project for next year. It's super exciting. And so get on over there. And then Friday, we're having Dr. Eric Napudi on. And he and I are going to be talking about the new Expedition Coffee that's launching on Friday. And we're also going to be pushing our channel on Clout Hub big. So we'll have Clout Hub in here. So Dr. Napudi, Dr. E, will be on here Friday night. Also, Friday evening, I'll be over on Red Pill 78 with Zach. That's going to be awesome. And then Zach will be the feature show Sunday night, because he's going to be on Bard's FM. So he's going to record his show with me Friday morning. Then I'm jumping over to his channel doing live with him Friday evening after Bard's FM. So you're going to have Dr. Eric, Dr. E, Friday evening. And then jumping over to Zach's channel, Red Pill 78. So get on over there and listen to that. He's got a great channel. And remember, he's speaking at Bard's Fest too. We're just getting all these great people. Seriously. Tomorrow night, we have Dr. Pam Popper, another amazing patriot who's been fighting the cabal and building out an amazing homeschooling program and an amazing business stimulus program up in Ohio. She's going to be speaking at Bard's Fest. I think you're starting to see a trend. If you come on the show lately, you're going to be speaking on Bard's Fest. This is going to be an epic event. You got to get your tickets and get on over there and get your My Slippers too. So, you know, as I started out, we've got, you know, the Trump hater, Michael Rappaport. And the dude is literally just seething with venom. And he's a great example of the left that has a godless walk in life. And he'll probably tell you he's not godless or whatever, because he likes to tell you contrary to every single thing you possibly could say. He literally spits when he speaks about Trump, gets so inflamed over nothing. And it makes you wonder what he's hiding, of course, right? And he knows something, because he wouldn't be so mad. But it is unbelievable to watch how humbled he was tonight in kind of a panicked way when he realized that, and he's realizing he got played. He got played. All those people that he was saying were crazy on Fox, he said, and crazy out here saying that the science isn't right. Well, guess what, Michael? You've got that death weapon in you. And whether you like it or not, your life is down to about a 3-year lifespan. I hope you live it well. You might want to get Jesus in your life, because otherwise you're going to be dead and going straight to hell. And I hate to say this, but it's been well earned. And that is where we literally are right now, with so many that have turned their blind eye to God. You know, I think almost every night this week I've read this passage. I'm going to read it again. It's so apropos in the themes I'm working with this week. But Amos 8:11, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Man, I'm telling you, his words are so apropos and so on point with what we're facing. But what I really want to get into tonight is where that spirit has to rise. We have 80 million people that voted for President Trump, and I'm going to bet you that most of them did not take the injection. Most, not all. And there's probably, according to the hand puppet, Joe Biden, there's 100 million people that haven't taken the injection. Well, here's what I think is real. There's probably 100 million people that did take the injection, and about 200 million that didn't, since they're the world of the inversion. That would be 1/3 of the population, which is about what I've estimated, and I've confirmed that with a few others. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny thinks it's probably accurate like that, I mean, she hasn't said exactly, but we're all kind of guessing that there's probably about 30 to 40% of the public that has taken the injection, and hence their reason for being so panicked, because it's the wrong groups that they wanted to wipe out. Granted, they're not really prejudiced on wiping out humanity. That's kind of something they relish in doing a mass destruction of humanity. But they are definitely gone after, they try to go after Trump supporters and hope that they could fan that fear porn up. And unfortunately, it backfired. And when you do the math, and hence you start to see their agenda, you can start to pull their agenda apart. And that agenda looks something like this. When you do the math, it's 95% of the liberals looks like they've taken both shots, or at least the J&J shot. And then whatever other part of that other group is some of the Trump supporters. Sadly, a lot of those in the Trump camp are elderly that took it. And that just inflames me, because they're vulnerable. They're a vulnerable population that they've been isolated, and they've been given the fan of flames of fear. So a lot of prayers up for those. We have our work cut out for us, patriots. And I don't care if they're left or right, who they are. When they get to the place of Michael Rappaport, I'll be very honest with you. I would have no greater joy than seeing that man on his knees praying to Jesus and bringing Jesus to him and saying, "Now you understand." And just leave it at that, because, man, I'll tell you, you want to see somebody's soul broken and rebuilt, that would be one. And it would be a shining example of the power of Christ. And he has a lot of repenting to do, just for being as nasty as he is. But you know what? God is moving in amazing ways. But we also have to be more committed to what we're trying to achieve here. We have to stop. And I'm not pointing my finger at anybody, but as a movement, we have to stop feeling like we're not unified, not strong. The left, if you really look at the numbers on the left, they're small, but they're noisy and they're violent and they're vocal. I mean, you go to a county commission meeting and it's usually like three or four people that'll start screaming and doing their dance. And of course, then you have and not on all cases. I have to say, I was really impressed with one of the county commissioners in our county. We had some leftist doing his thing, and finally he literally schooled her in front of everybody. He just interrupted her. He goes, "Here's the deal. We have rules here. This is how you work. We're happy to hear your complaints. You will not start do your drama anymore. If you do your drama, I'm having the sheriff arrest you and drag you out of here. This is the way you operate. If you can't handle that, get out of here." And just schooled her right in front of everybody. And that's the sort of leadership we need in our county commissions and city councils. Unfortunately, most of them have been co-opted by the left and infiltrated by the left. And so, as happened just now, I got a call from a friend of mine, just completely irate. And we talked through just perspectives on things, but he's in Virginia in a 97% red county. They put up a measure over the weekend, or on last Friday or something, just over the last few days, let's just say it that way, that was simply to say that they endorse. Wasn't even a binding measure. It was a measure to endorse and acknowledge the right of the First Amendment. Now think about this. That's all it was to acknowledge the right of free speech. And the county commission turned it down, literally voted it down, right in front of an entire crowd of hardcore patriots. This is the corruption we're talking about, and it's deep. And as he's there, the crowd started to get pretty raucous, and the sheriff was actually like, "Okay, people," this is what he was telling me, "Okay, people, now calm down. And as I told him, it's like, no, he needs to tell the sheriff, like, we're not calming down. And he was acknowledging that. He was saying it too. It's like, no, Fred, we're not calming down. We're going to, like, lynch you next if you don't shut your mouth and start standing with the Constitution. And that's really where we have to get. So this is where I wanted to read tonight, Samuel 17:41-7. I really want you to take a perspective on this deeper message. And this is David versus Goliath. It's an amazing, and I love this passage for a lot of reasons, so I'm going to read through this. "And the Philistine moved forward and came near David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies to the host of the Philistines this day, to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." That is true spirit of a Christ warrior. And I absolutely love this passage as a reminder to get out of the pew marshmallow mode and to get into the Christ warrior mode and start acting and living it. It is time to quit being a doormat. And I take that was a great comment. It actually came from my pastor's wife, Travis Graham, who you've heard on the show. He's coming back on too, and he's speaking at Bard's Fest. And her name is Holly. And Holly said it one day in church. I just thought it was perfect. She's like, "Yeah, we're Christians and we're tolerant, but we aren't a doormat." I've held on to that sense. It's a great one. We are not doormats. But more than that, as David demonstrates, we're not to be pushed over. What is amazing about this passage is that David stands in the gap to speak up to Goliath and to make it clear to him that he will not defy God. And I love this place because he takes that position of defense forward of God. God's at his back. But he steps into the gap and says, "You're not going to defy my God anymore. Done. We're done playing games. And this is God's army. This is God's war. And he's going to deliver you into my hand." Our hand, actually. We need that backbone again. And it's not hard to find, and it's not hard to do if we trust in God and we stand boldly in that place. But it is hard when you start to believe this nonsense out here of headlines and, "Oh, they're going to inject you." You know, you have de Blasio, communist from New York, today on the news. It's time. We're done. We're done. We're gonna start mandatory vaccinating people. It's like, Are you going to bring the power hose crew too to wash their blood off my sidewalk as they come and try to pull that needle on my family? And I'm going to drop you dead like David cut the head off of Goliath. And I mean that. So this is the ferocity that has to come again to the Christian movement. It is enough of being pushed around. It is enough of being run over. It is enough of sitting here going, "Oh, I don't know what to do. All we can do is pray." No, it is more. Prayer is your foundation. But strength is who we are. And yes, we have temperance, and we have amazing grace, and we have amazing compassion for people, and we are trying to bring the many back to God. But it's like those that are preaching Romans 13 these days, trying to say that you need to obey this government. Like hell I do. I'm not going to obey a Luciferian government. They are not of God. They are not following God. So don't quote Romans 13 to me. You can stuff it. I will do exactly as this country was founded, which is I will be defiant in the name of God, because I don't stand to tyranny. And we have our loving brethren, up in Canada. In Canada, you need to do the same thing. Speaking to us all right now, the North American people as a whole need to put a stomp down on this tyranny like now. You know, we also have our southern border brethren, our Mexican brethren equal respect. You need to like put a throat stamp down on your cartels and your nasty government too. This is a time when we have an opportunity as a North American unit, if you will, to come together as God's children and say enough is enough and literally put the throat punch on them all. But we can't do it if we're going to sit here in this meek place. And the way the scripture has been woven, it gets very complicated for everybody because they're like, okay, now wait, Christ told us to love our brother. And then all you hear is love one another, accept everything, be temperate, you know, don't make noise. This is how the churches have inculcated this nonsense in the cult, in the whole congregations, and people have grown up in the church with this brainwashing. Let me be clear. I'm not in any way advocating for projection of anything. It is the point that we have to make a stand, and if you can't make the stand, you're going to see it go away. I just don't buy. I'm not buying that place of turn the other cheek and let them completely roll you over. Temperance and grace is one thing, but there is a line that you have to know that you cannot cross. And it's what I call the line of intolerance. Now, that often grates on people in faith. They're like, oh, wait, no, 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 no. You can't use that word because we're supposed to be tolerant. Uh-huh. I'll be as tolerant as I can possibly be with Christ-loving people. I will be as graceful as God can give me. But if when you're a Luciferian whore coming at me, trying to stick me with a needle or trying to take away my rights or telling me I have to get rid of my God, I draw that line firm. I'm not crossing it. And that's my line of intolerance because I'm not tolerating your stuff anymore. Just as David drew that line. Just as David spoke boldly that I will have God deliver your head. I'll cut your head off. I'll have God deliver it to me. And you imagine if you are a bunch of communists sitting in a school board telling people you're going to shove critical race theory down their throats, you're going to sequester their children, they're going to isolate kids inside, they're going to force children to wear masks. If they don't comply with certain rules, they're going to isolate children. I mean, why do parents put up with this? Because what, you feel you're outnumbered? Start being a David. And as a community, start being David's, plural. These county commissioners, these city council members, the sheriffs, I don't care who they are. They don't get a right to use their power to tell people how to act. Remember how the Constitution is. It is God first. That's moral law. All things in this country are accountable to God, period. God is, we have a king. It's Christ. And he sits on the throne above all things. That's how the Constitution is constructed. Unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness given to us by our Creator. No one can take it away. No one. Except God himself. Underneath that are the people, his children. His children in this world, in this country, in this land that he gave us, are accountable to him. Everybody is accountable to him. And underneath his children is the government, the people that we have chosen by God's grace to take care of the affairs of state, to represent our views as we do use our gifts and talents in the world to build a beautiful nation. Really not a complicated model, but boy, did we screw this one up. And we've got to get it back. And the only way we're going to get it back is if we follow that format and demand that every single person in public service does that. So when we have God first and then we have the people, that's where we inject the Constitution. The Declaration of Independence establishes moral law and our duties under moral law, which are very simple. We have the duty and response. We have the responsibility and duty, keyword duty, to throw off such government that becomes a tyranny and rejects God. Tries to take away your inalienable rights, they get to be overthrown. It's pretty clear. It's in the Declaration of Independence. Read it. It's in the second paragraph. Get it clear. That's our duty. So that's our construct of moral law that sits across everything in this nation. And in that process of moral law, there's also this other little thing that depending on which version of the Bible you read, it's said 366 times in some, and it says, fear not, which makes us a fearless nation under God and fearless even in the face of a tyrannical government because we have God. Now, our founding fathers understood very well that governments succumb and become tyrannical over time. They understood that. As a matter of fact, that's the whole point of us doing the Federalist Papers in the morning, was to really get the sense of what that message is. And it's so amazing. The 85 Federalist Papers that were written show the depth of knowledge that our framers had with the forms of government over time in history. And what we arrive at is an anomaly. Us, we are the anomaly in history. Because in this land, we are constructed in such a way that, again, God is put above all things. And then we, the people, are accountable to him. His laws first, and then the Constitution frames out the way that this nation should function as a governance, both in the executive, the judicial, and the legislative branches, as governance. And then subordinate to the people is the government itself, a small footprint of government that is simply constructed to manage the affairs of the nation, with a nation that is both has the freedom of speech and is well-armed to defend itself both from tyranny and foreign invaders. That's a simple way of looking at the whole Constitution and the framing of this country. What you have witnessed over the last 200-plus years is their strategic and very effective fight in using lawfare, political spin, the media, dumbing down people in education, taking away people from the fundamental understanding of what the Constitution does. And what they have managed to do is they have taken God and they've pretty much buried it in a grave somewhere in our history. And then they've put government over the people and they've told people, you need to be subject and subordinate to us because we are great and we must be worshipped. We must be those that you look up to. And when you don't, we will put you in jail. We will crush you. We will audit you. We will impose rules and regulations on you. We will shut your business down. We will mandate that you have to wear masks if you do not comply to what we say. Boy, sometimes I have to bite my tongue. The words that want to flow off my tongue at times are not appropriate. But it's simple. Stick it. You ain't coming. You ain't getting in another inch. Not another inch in my life. Not another inch. And I hope that every patriot does the same. Not another inch. Their games are done. And this nation's ours, and this is God's land, and we are the stewards of this land, and God has given us and asked us to occupy this land and expand his kingdom. I don't know how much simpler that gets. And it is time for a mass of patriots, and I hope that it's every single patriot, like thousands of patriots in St. Louis, that stand and make the same commitment. Samuel, 1 Samuel 17:41 to 47, to stand in front of this Goliath and to let them know, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, the God of the armies of his children, the God of the armies of these United States, this republic, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Imagine reading this at a school board, a whole chorus of people speaking this to them. And I will strike you down and cut off your head. Man, the sheriff would about poop his pants about right then. He'd be like, excuse me, please don't say that. And you're like, shut up. You're going to be one of those that's going to get his head cut off too. You're like, we're going to arrest you. Then the whole crowd stands up and say, arrest us all. Back off. You've given an oath to the Constitution and we're standing up for it. And when God is above us all, get out of my way. We're taking this back. That's what we're talking about. And then you continue. I will go to the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day, to the birds. I will give, the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And you can replace Philistines with any sort of adjunct you want in there. I will give the dead bodies of the hosts of the whatever organization you're talking to, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Replace with whatever you want, like a God in this land. A God, not your God, a God, the one God, the only God. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. I guarantee you, you put 100 people in a school board meeting to recite that in front of them, they're going to be screaming bloody murder to have everybody arrested, and everybody can stand up and say, come and take it. Come and take it. Our fight is a fight that's led by the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. But he didn't ask us to be here to be weak and spineless. And it's going to take a ferocity to stand up in front of this, and it's going to take scripture to guide us. And the thing is, the scripture is there. We are to share the scripture with the world. So share it. Let them know where you stand. And I see no conflict here. No conflict whatsoever with my faith with God. If you have a problem, pray on it. That's for you. But for me, it's clear. We have bent like a willow in the wind, man. We have put up with so much, and we have just stood here and we said, okay. But they just keep moving forward, and they keep saying, you know what, we're going to take more. And you're like, okay, I'll pray for you. And they keep taking more. And in the process, they're destroying real people. Do you realize it right now that any child that has been given this injection, according to the latest work I just came across, any child that has been given this injection is now sterilized for life. You understand that? Anybody that's been given this injection has the possibility of having chronic problems and health issues the rest of their life. Let me give you another little dark component to this. This is a nice one. I actually mentioned this when I was in Anaheim. I don't think people got it, but I'm going to make it clear. The engine to our body, if you want to call it the God's brain, is our heart. It is electromagnetic. That should tell you something, because that deals with all sorts of things in the quantum soul. Do you think it's an accident that the mRNA that people are getting and the spike protein issues are causing damage, permanent damage to the many, many people's hearts? And do you think it's by accident that they are already growing hearts to put in people? Their hearts, not God's hearts, their hearts. This is the idea, is to force people to have continual failures and to continually separate them from the connectors that God has put within us so that they become soulless, dead people walking around like zombies. And the only God that they will have will be the God of the state, the God of the searching eye on the top of the pyramid. That's what they want. That's Lucifer's plan. So do you really think that God expects us to sit here and roll over and go, okay, I'm going to do the cockroach dance, get on my head and get on my back, put my feet up in the air and go, take me? There has to be a line that we draw. And that line has to be very clear. And nowhere in here have we raised the sword of steel. We have risen the sword of the spirit right here in all this truth speaking to let people know very clearly that there is a line that they will not cross. And we have to articulate that very, very, very clearly. They need to understand that you will not cross this line. Oh, they'll try to isolate you. They'll try to make an example of you. But that is where we have to work together, because they can't get everybody. We're watching right now these patriots that they've incarcerated in D.C. They want to do that to everybody. They want to blame them for, they want to use Antifa as instigators, and they want to use the FBI to arrest everybody else, because the FBI, to a large degree, are just a bunch of scumbags. They used to be a good organization, I think. And then you have, you know, the Capitol Police, which are either BLM or Antifa in wearing a uniform. This is what they've done to our institutions. And this is how a communist insurgency works, because they use that form of institutions. And then you have this blasphemy going on out here of pastors literally reciting Romans 13 to say, you must obey this government. It's like, oh, okay, so I guess you wanted Christ to bow to him when he met Lucifer and walked with him. You wanted Christ to get down and kiss his foot too? I am so sick and tired of pastors that have sold their soul and are trying to put on a uniform. They deserve every bit of the walk off the plank into the lake of fire. This is a time to draw the line. And there has to be a ferocity, a fire in your belly, a righteous indignation that understands that there are places that you will not cross, and you have to get clear in your head of what those are. Because when you do that, you don't have any more fear. There should be no fear in facing this tyranny. That's the whole point of this. A country led by God that accepts what God says as the primal basis of everything we do. Have no fear. A nation that is fearless in front of tyranny, tyranny cannot rise. But a nation that cowers in front of tyranny, tyranny grows like a rabid dog's cancer. Our greatest mission right now is engaging people one-to-one to give them the love of Christ. But you do that with a firmness of knowing the lines that you will not cross. And this is where a lot of our faith and our ministry goes wrong, in my opinion. Is that when you come across somebody who's firm on those lines, it's a blessing because they understand, like, hey, here's where I am. This is what I believe. I want to share this with you. And there's not this squishy compromising going on. It's like, I'll give a little here, I'll give a little there, sure. No, you come with somebody with a confident and calm walk as Christ walked as the greatest warrior of all time. But you know very well within you, you can flip the tables and pull out the whip anytime you want if God calls. That is where we have to be. Fearless, the fearless remnant. And if we stand that boldly, we will lead the many, because there's so many people out here that are just unable to make a stand. They just can't do it. Like, I don't really know if I can do this because I'll offend such and such and I might step on some toes. Man, whatever. I'll tell you, it was yesterday talking to Uncle Ted. Having a conversation directly with Ted Nugent, Uncle Ted, was awesome. He's colorful, I'll tell you that. But he make no mistake where he stands. And I have so much respect for that, because there's a clear line that it isn't going to happen. You're not going to cross with him. That's the way my great-grandfather was. That's the way my grandfather was. That's the way my dad is. That's the way I grew up. Like, there's just a line you're not going to cross. Ain't going to happen. All right? You know, you don't like it? Sorry. But if we don't walk firm with that in our life, and we don't stand up and be bold and start being solid Christians as God intended us to be, using the examples given. Don't cherry pick all the things. Because people do this. I get this all the time. Oh, you can't do that because it says here that we're supposed to be this way and this way. And it's like, what did you do? Like, cherry pick the entire Bible for every single passage that told you to be a limp willow? Man, the Bible is an amazing saga and story of humanity standing up to evil and crushing it and being pursued by evil and evil trying to crush them and always persevering because they had God in their heart. That is an amazing narrative across the entire scripture from Old Testament to New Testament. It's incredible. And yet somehow this all gets watered down to like, okay, folks, today sit in the pew. Don't do anything. I hope you wore your khakis and button-down shirt. Ladies, please be very formal. Don't do anything. I hope you have your hairnet on today. And, don't do that. Don't speak in church. No, 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 no. Be obeyed. Man, get some fire. Light the torches. We are at the point of losing. We are literally at the point of losing our country and with it our right to worship. John Benzinger, Pastor John Benzinger, man, he hit it the other day. He's like, we are about to become like every other country in the world where Christians are pursued. That should piss you off. It's like, no, that is not going to happen. He's right. I'm not questioning what he's saying. I love the fact he said it, but he's right. And it's like, okay, unless if you're going to keep walking like sheep around here, and it doesn't mean you take the vax. It's just you're going to be walking like sheep going, okay, well, I've got to be compliant. It is going to happen. These people are moving. So it's time to be the David. It's time to stand up and like literally hold that line. We have the great examples out here. The Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's, the Dr. Carrie Madej, the Dr. Lee Merritt. I mean, they're out here swinging every day. You've got Pastor John Benzinger. You've got Pastor Tony Wood. You've got Pastor Travis Graham. You have Pastor Travis McLeod. You're going to see all these people at Bardsfest. You have Pastor Pa from West Virginia, who actually carries a gun when he ministers, but he can't do it in Missouri, but he does. I mean, Pastor Greg Locke. These are firebrands showing the way to how to lead in this time. And then there's many others out here speaking. Patriots, it's here. It is time to stand up. It's time to be bold. It is time to be the David in front of the Goliath and cut no bones about where you stand. Don't be timid. Don't be afraid. Oh, my goodness, there's a sheriff over there. It's like, sheriff, shut up and sit down. We voted you into office. Literally. And the crowd has to do that. It's like, what are you going to do, arrest us all? Crowds have to come together. The fellowship of the Christians come together and now make the stand. But it's going to take the one to empower the many. And when the one takes the stand, the many will rise. So let's get this game on. Bardsfest is going to be a glorious event. Bardsfest is the bringing together of like minds, a fellowship of those embracing God. But Bardsfest is an empowering experience. It's the place where we draw that line. It's no more. We're done. You know, think about what just happened. St. Louis, which is where we have the drive-in St. Louis theater. I mean, that's the outdoor arena that we're in, right? It's a great place, exciting. As that's going on over there, okay, they are, as we're planning, St. Louis County tries to put a mask ordinance in. Man, they mobilized some serious patriots. Dan Buck, who owns the drive-in, Dr. E, he went to bat for us. The attorney general threw a lawsuit on him. And the county commissioner stood up and said, ain't going to happen. Now, all these people, you really think that they're just doing it on their own? God's employing his people to go, listen, this is my event. You want to screw it up with a mask? Meet my wrath. And that's just the beginning. It is time. It is our time. In this time, we are here for this reason. And it's not to be soft. It is to be strong and bold in the face of evil, to stand in the gap, to face the Goliath, and to topple the Goliath. Of all the countries in the world, of all the countries in history, there has never been a country, never been a country that, number one, put God at its head, and two, gave its people the duty, hear that word, the duty to throw off any form of tyranny that did not honor the structure of God at its head. There you go. And that's where we are. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in which we come together. We thank you and we're blessed each day that we can assemble and build our fellowship in the many ways that we do. And Lord, today we pray for the strength of David, the strength to stand in the gap and to face the Goliath and to know that when we speak to that Goliath, we are speaking through with you, that you stand with us, and we feel that strength of your words flow through us, and that as we speak across to those that take the form of Goliath, that they hear the words of David. The reminder that I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied, and let them hear those words in their heart and shake to their root. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and let them know the truth of those words as we speak them into the world. Let them feel the trembling fear of you, Lord. Let them be reminded of the fear of you, Lord. And let us be those emissaries that stand in the gap, that speak your words to them and make them reflect deeply on the place that they are, to humble themselves before you. For we will make this stand, and we will hold this line, and we will occupy this land, and we will expand your kingdom, and we will do so in your name and the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So, Patriots, we've got some work ahead of us. Each one of us has to carry that pack. Each one of us has to climb this mountain. And with it, we have to build our little units of resistance. The army of God is spread out across the world. We know that we're connected through prayer. We know that we have the gift of assembly and fellowship. Let's use it. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. Prayers up. Prayers are our foundation. Prayers are our connection with God. Prayers are our unity with each other, our fellowship. It's what gives us the strength to push into this. And push in we will. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God will win. Remember, our country is God first above all things. We are subordinate to him, and government is subordinate to us. And we are a country, the only country in history in which God has been put at the head. And we have been given the duty, not just the responsibility, but the duty to throw off any form of government that defies the fact that God is at the head. That is now our fight. And we are legally given that right by our framers. They will tell you otherwise, they can drop dead. Our framers gave us that right. In fact, it's reinforced in Federalist Paper number 78. I read it today. So let's buckle up. We've got work to do. Have a blessed night. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then or until the next time. God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something.
sets down over the hill where the lost got found. Reaching through somehow, oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith, when your soul answers calls far away. Drifting like the tides out on the free.